I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Tuesday, August 5th. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us today on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane, in for Rob Hart. Well, coming up, Fox launching its streaming service, Fox One, just in time for the NFL season to kick off. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, talking money with aging parents can be tough, but it is a critical conversation to have. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner, founder of Engage Wealth Group in Chicago, past national president of the Financial Planning Association, and online at engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour. It's a tough topic. Talking money can be a tough topic with anyone, but especially when you're talking about parents who are getting up there in age. Why is it important to maybe try to start that dialogue sooner rather than later?
Yeah, Andy, this is such an important topic. I'll humbly ask your listeners to take a break from what they're doing and pay attention to this segment, because we all know we take our last breath. So the importance of planning cannot be underestimated. So let's talk about the downside of not getting organized, right? So the downside of not getting organized is that your wishes and your directives may not even be honored. And so your heirs may waste months, if not years, settling your unorganized affairs. So what will most likely happen is you could be incurring high legal expenses and even court proceedings. So starting with this is important. And so the first step of why it's important is, you know, you want to be proactive or reactive. You're basically making a choice. So we always like when clients are proactive, because that allows you to make thoughtful, well-informed decisions rather than being reactive and having you or your loved ones making rush or emotionally charged choices. So again, having these conversations early is very important.
So when it comes to starting that conversation, Ed, and we mentioned it's not exactly an easy thing to do, what do you suggest in terms of opening the topic in a respectful and non-confrontational way?
Yeah, so the real issue we've seen in the past is the angst over how much to share, especially financial information. Like, how much do parents share with their adult children? Or for some, if you don't have children, trusted friends. So again, while intended, the initial conversation may be uncomfortable. So we tell clients to basically blame it on us. Just say, hey, you know, certified financial planner was asking about our own estate planning needs. Hey, what's going on with your estate planning needs? And the fun part is we've had parents reach out from time to time with referrals to estate planning attorneys. So it was a great outcome for both the parents and their adult children. But again, just be careful of how that conversation starts so you don't make it sound like you're doing sort of a pre-inheritance grab.
And once that conversation kind of gets rolling, when you talk about documents, information, things to know, when those conversations begin, what are some of the important things to have and keep in mind as they get underway?
Yeah, so when it comes to estate planning documents, there's three basic legal documents that everyone, in our opinion, should have in place: a last will and testament, and powers of attorney for health care, and power of attorney for property. So the will comes in upon passing, and the health care and the property while you're living. And again, you know, more complex estates can get into things like revocable trust, but that's kind of the first element. The second is to get organized, right? Gather a list of all bank accounts, investment portfolios, insurance policies, and things like that, and have this information written down so in case of incapacitation or death, if someone knows where all this information is. Again, it goes a long way in helping people focus on what's important, which is that loved one, rather than angsting about where all the different elements of these are organized, if you would.
Certainly not an easy topic, but an important one nonetheless. Thanks so much. That is Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group, past national president of the Financial Planning Association, and online at engagewealthgroup.com. Well, Fox One launching just in time for the NFL season. We'll discuss that next.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Fox is set to launch its new direct-to-consumer streaming service, Fox One, just in time for the NFL season. Here to break it down for us is Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertair Group in Chicago. Tim, thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour today. All right, so here we go. Yet another streaming service that we now have to consider. Football fans like myself now keeping an eye on. There's been a lot of them. Fox, it's seemingly, a little slower to jump into the full-fledged streaming game. Why now, and what should consumers keep in mind here as this gets rolled out?
Yeah, Andy, that's very true. Fox has been relatively slow. They have Tubi, which is a free ad-supported streaming service, but have been very reluctant to kind of embrace streaming because the traditional cable bundle has been so good to them over the years. But this Fox One is interesting for what it doesn't contain. What it really is literally a true unbundling of the various cable networks and over-the-air stations, including Channel 32 here in Chicago, in a streaming package for $19.99 a month. And there's no additional stuff to it. So if you're a subscriber via regular cable or satellite, you'll have access to this app, but there'll be nothing new or separate or different about it. It's literally a replacement. And that's kind of the key that Lachlan Murdoch said on their earnings report call yesterday. They are trying to be very disciplined and very focused and very modest in their assumptions as to how many people are going to take to this. This is literally focused on people who are cord shavers, that is people who used to be cable subscribers but are no longer, and what the industry calls cord nevers, the younger generation who don't know cable networks from anything and literally have been streaming first for most of their young and now early adult lives. So this is literally a replacement for, and it's going to be interesting, but obviously very well timed for college football and NFL football in particular. Sports is absolutely at the heart of this.
So, Tim, you mentioned that this is maybe a little different than what we've seen when it comes to what is an already crowded streaming market. So how does Fox One kind of compare when you look at some of the competitors' moves? Obviously, ESPN has an upcoming streaming launch as well. Where will this kind of fit in, and how does it kind of compare to the competition?
I think you can kind of structure this as understanding that most of the traditional cable and broadcast television providers are trying to kind of unbundle their offerings with a bit of care so that a rebundling can occur from a consumer perspective, right? So I think it's pretty clear to most average, quote unquote, television viewers these days that there are sort of buckets of stuff that one really wants. And if sports is my thing, for example, the new ESPN offering at $29.99 a month is going to be interesting and fairly comprehensive. And Fox, which has a lot of sports and stuff in it, at $19.99 a month is going to be pretty comprehensive. I think the goal for each of them and others that are trying to do somewhat similar things is to at least have a basic but big chunk of stuff that isn't the full megilla of cable subscription and allow you over time to then layer in other streaming things that you might like to add to that. And that's also part of Fox One's strategy is they have a thing called Fox Nation, which is a completely separate and unique streaming service. They're going to try to bundle that and add that as a bake on. I think you're going to see a lot of entities try to create, shall we call them, sort of starter packs of streaming. And the bet that and the idea of maybe cross-selling other streaming packs that you might like and essentially allow you as a consumer to reassemble what used to be known as a cable bundle, but maybe with a little bit more flexibility and intent for the things that only you want versus the full megilla.
Television is getting more and more complicated, it seems.
Indeed.
But fascinating stuff. Thanks so much. As always, that is Tim Hanlon, founder and CEO of the Vertair Group in Chicago. Up next, one parent, one kid trips. How to navigate it all and create those lasting memories.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
On this Travel Tuesday, one parent, one kid trips can be fun and meaningful with the right planning. Joining us now on with Key Advice is Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors based in Scottsdale, online at travelbta.com. Angie, thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour. Let's start. One parent, one kid trips seemingly gaining popularity. Why is that? And what is it about those trips that can be so rewarding for all involved?
It offers so many benefits to the family, not just the parent, but also the child. And in cases where there are siblings, believe it or not, I think it benefits the siblings that are not necessarily attending the trip as well.
So when we talk about parents, you know, the one parent, one kid trips, what are some of the key destinations and what is key in choosing those right places to go?
You really want to establish the interest of the child and look for ways to create synergy for that experience for both the mother, daughter, father, son, if you will, or oftentimes it's fun for mom to take son and dad to take daughter. So if son likes to fish and do things outdoors, maybe you're looking at something in Wyoming or Idaho, or if you have a daughter that really likes theater, you might be looking at New York or another destination surrounded by music, theater, and arts and culture.
Travel can be fun. You know that probably better than anyone. But there can also be troubles, you know, whether that's, getting too in the weeds when it comes to planning. Travel can be downright stressful. We all know that. What are some of the tips when you're talking about these trips going solo with a child to avoid some of the common mistakes and to maybe simplify the logistics and eliminate some of that travel stress?
It starts with introducing the concept to the family. There's travel coaches and travel advisors that specialize in this type of travel. And it's really building this concept of how do we introduce this type of travel into our overall travel planning long term, and focusing on the fact that this is an opportunity for the parent and the child to create connection, whether that connection is based on a common interest or a goal. Oftentimes we see one parent taking a child to tour universities simply because it's tough for both parents to have time off and to manage those that stay home. It's also an opportunity for celebration. Is this a milestone for somebody's, you know, 13th birthday, or does the family establish we're going to do these one-on-one trips every other year, or maybe it's a graduation? And then really creating that personalization. As we know, I mean, I have 5 brothers and sisters, and I know that each of us has something different to offer, and we connect with each parent a little bit differently. So it's this opportunity to really build personalization into the itinerary and also choosing the destination based on what really resonates with the parent and the child that get to take the trip.
A really cool and special way to make some special memories. Thanks so much. That is Angie Rice, co-founder of Boutique Travel Advisors in Scottsdale, online at travelbta.com. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, book your fall getaway now. Popular trips and festivals are filling fast.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. Stocks are trading mixed. Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist at Carson Group. Ryan, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour today. A seesaw day for stocks. How are you kind of keeping an eye on the markets here on this Tuesday?
Yeah, Andy, thanks for having me back. And, you know, it's nice after the last couple of days. Remember on Friday, we had a 1.6% drop on the week jobs numbers. And yesterday, Monday, big bounce back, about 1.5%. Now today, down a tad, but like you said, fairly mixed. I think the thing we're really trying to stress is after, you know, one of the least volatile periods we've seen in a long time, for about 2 months, we have virtually no volatility. The month of August, for whatever reason, tends to be volatile. I think it's something investors need to remember. And I think choppiness, called a Charlie Brown T-shirt, if you will, that zigzag, that might be what we're kind of looking for after a 28% rally off those April lows, a little consolidation. That's not the end of the world.
All right. So you mentioned maybe the chance of a Charlie Brown-like August here. Any areas of the market in particular that are at risk, or any areas maybe that you're feeling confident in heading into August?
Absolutely. I mean, it's important for listeners to know, this is still a global bull market, right? I mean, there's still a lot of groups doing well, maybe a little break. But I'll tell you, we still like large caps here. We think the economy, and we can get into some of the weeds of the economy. Economy slowing, yes, but slowing doesn't mean recession. I think everyone's freaking out all of a sudden real quickly because that one bad jobs number. But overall, the economy is still expanding. We're in the middle of earnings season. Not the middle. We're catching near the end of earnings season, a very solid earnings season. So to us, large caps, cyclical areas, things will do better if the economy is better, like industrials, financials, technology. Those are some of the areas that have brought us to the dance, so to speak, and we still think they're going to do really well here, maybe the rest of this summer, but even into the rest of 2025.
Ryan, you mentioned the earnings season that has been solid. We're talking, over 80% of companies beating analyst estimates. I'm curious your takeaway, and really beyond August, what that could mean for the rest of 2025.
Yeah, it's been a real solid earnings season overall. I mean, S&P 500 earnings expect to be up over 10. Like you just said, this time a month and a half ago, it was maybe 5%, right? And revenues come in much better than expected also. But it's all about guidance and what companies would say about forward guidance. We're impressed by that still. I mean, we've got record forward guidance for the S&P 500 on a 12-month basis. We also have new highs in profit margins, which I think surprises people. But to put a bow on this, the story of this, I guess, earnings season has been the AI theme. Right, the large names like Meta and Alphabet and Microsoft, that's not slowing down. That is not slowing down at all. I know Palantir had earnings today, and they mentioned the words AI or letters AI also, which helped them. So the reality is AI is still huge. It's still driving the economy. Now, honestly, we'd like to see other parts of the economy. Honestly, consumption's a little bit weak. Housing's a little bit weak. Even business investment parts of it aren't that great. But AI is really helping the economy go now. We just want to see the rest of the economy perk up the second half of this year.
You know, Ryan, we talk a lot on the program about the Fed, and the president has apparently narrowed his list of potential chairs. Curious your thoughts on the central bank and perhaps maybe who would best be fit to lead it next.
Well, boy, that's a really good question. You know, Waller's had some really good calls, so to speak, about actually using economic data, and I don't get into in the weeds of kind of playing politics. So Waller's one I don't mind. But, I mean, the honest answer is we know there's a new Fed chairperson coming, at least in May. Assuming nothing happens before May, but that's when Powell's term is up. But the Fed is in a tough spot because just today, perfect example, the ISM services, keep this real simple. Services is a big part of the economy. It came in a little weaker than expected. We also saw a little bit hotter inflation number. We saw some inflation perking up last week, specifically on the goods side of things, likely due to tariffs. And that's why the Fed's in a hard spot. When you got an economy that's slowing, they probably should be cutting. But the question is, will they? Because if they cut, they're worried inflation comes back. Our base case, yeah, the Fed should be cutting starting in September. When you look around, the economy is slowing. But it's a difficult spot, and that's why Powell's been kind of dragging his feet, so to speak.
And Ryan, before we let you go quickly here, you know, we mentioned kind of some optimism heading into the rest of 2025. Your advice to those who have maybe been sitting on the investing sidelines due to whether that's economic concerns, uncertainty, what would you tell the individual investor here for the rest of the year?
Rest of this year still looks good. Just think of it like this. When the S&P 500 is higher in May, June, and July, those 3 months, the rest of the year has been up 15 out of 17 times, up well over like about 8% median return. Earnings are still strong. Things are not perfect out there, yes, but earnings are strong. Profit margins are strong. We think some Fed cuts are coming, and consumers hanging in there. Lower rates probably help the consumer, help the housing market. The market's a forward-looking mechanism, going to sniff that out. We still think the second half of this year will be a pretty good one for investors.
Really exciting stuff. Thanks so much. As always, that is Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist at Carson Group. Up next in Travel Tuesday, fall getaways are booking fast. Apple orchards, festivals, and cozy escapes await. We'll have details.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
So does Travel Tuesday, and fall is the perfect season for quick getaways. From pumpkin patches and apple orchards to autumn festivals, but you'll need to act fast. Popular destinations do book up quickly. Joining us now to discuss is Mark Walters of Walters World Travel and Culture on YouTube and teaching associate professor of business administration at the University of Illinois Geese College of Business. Mark, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on the Noon Business Hour. All right, so temperatures are still in the 80s. Many of us still trying to kind of soak up the last of summer here. The sun is out, and yet we're talking autumn and fall really becoming a popular season here for travel in the Midwest. What do you hear as far as travel when it comes to the fall season and your tips for those who are wanting to get away here in a few months?
So I will tell you, it's not quite as busy as you have in peak summer. However, the weekends and the best fall destinations, they do book up quickly. So if you want to do your leaf peeping, and remember, you don't just have to do leaf peeping in New England, people. We've got it in Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, you can do that. You want to make sure you're booking your accommodation early so you have a place to stay, so you're not staying, you know, 20 miles away from where you actually want to be.
So, Mark, you know, we talk about booking and you know, once you get that hotel or that cabin booked or you get your tickets to a festival, what are some of the more popular Midwest fall getaways that we've seen in recent years?
So what I've seen a lot is a lot of communities are putting together like Oktoberfest or, you know, beer themed events going on to bring out the community to get people out. So honestly, if you have any city or any town that has a German heritage, they're probably going to have an Oktoberfest that's going on. So you can really look around. And honestly, you can go to Illinois' website, enjoyillinois.com, and they have a whole website that goes for family fun, performing arts events, all kinds of defined things. But I think the beer is a very popular one. Also, pork is another really big one out there, and they kind of combine those. There's a lot of pork festivals you might see as well.
Hard to go wrong with beer or pork. Mark, you know, we talk about obviously getting started early. What are some of the other things that we should consider as we maybe start to book that fall getaway?
So one thing I would say is kind of plan the weekend ahead, like have it kind of set up for you so you know what you're going to be doing, because a lot of these festivals, they really are from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. So it's not like you have the whole day kind of put together. So you can actually put together a few destinations on the way. So you might be able to hit up some of those diners from, you know, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives that are up in Northern Illinois and Michigan, Wisconsin. You can kind of add these things together. So it makes it kind of like a family road trip for the weekend, and you can really enjoy that. And of course, anytime you do a road trip, make sure you have your accoutrement, have that blanket in the car in case it gets, you have any issues, or have your flares and these things. But it can be a really fun experience, but it's just, you know, planning for a shorter road trip like in summer, but just have the right footwear, because walking those pumpkin patches and walking those apple orchards, it's not a high heel kind of thing.
All right, Mark, one last question for you here before we let you go, given your travel expertise and asking for a friend here. But if you're a little behind and maybe you do want to get tickets to a festival or an Oktoberfest or a hotel and it's booked up and you're thinking, all right, well, I got to improvise here. What's maybe a hidden gem? Not to give it away here over the air, you know, to really kind of get rid of the hidden gem aspect, but maybe somewhere that a fall getaway that maybe you don't hear people talk about a lot that's a little underrated in your opinion.
Well, I think this is one thing a lot of people don't realize is going to a college football game can be an entire weekend experience, because you're going to places like here in Champaign. You come down, you have the game, so you have the tailgating beforehand, going out to eat afterwards, and the game experience. But there's usually other events going on when those games are coming. So if you're going to go to Northwestern or Illinois or Northern, or you're going to Wisconsin, if you go around homecoming, those can be really a lot of other events going on that you could enjoy. So if you don't like football, there's other things you can enjoy while you're there. So that's another thing people kind of forget about in the fall.
And we love hearing the fall terms, whether it's apples, autumn, or leaves, or especially college football. Really exciting. It'll be here before we know it. That's for sure. Thanks so much. That is Mark Walters of Walters World Travel and Culture on YouTube, teaching associate professor of business administration at the University of Illinois Geese College of Business. Join us this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, oil prices sliding again, what that means for drivers and the broader economy.
Money Talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Oil prices are falling, a possible win for drivers, but also a warning sign for the broader global economy. As we welcome in Phil Flynn, senior market analyst, Price Group, and a Fox Business News contributor. Phil, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us today. All right, so we mentioned us drivers might like to heat, like the sound of lower oil prices. However, may not say good things about the broader economy. What's kind of your take here?
Definitely showing uncertainty about the economy. You know, we're getting mixed economic signals. A lot of people were critical of the Federal Reserve not cutting rates, with the jobs market slowing a little bit, but mainly for U.S. oil producers. We're hearing from a lot of oil producers, you know, that the concerns about lower prices is not allowing them to invest in new oil rigs. They're falling to the lowest level since the 1920s. So, you know, they're not very optimistic about raising production, you know, because of all of this uncertainty.
When you talk about geopolitically here as well, Phil, how did the geopolitics kind of play in, and where do you see that taking us here throughout 2025?
It's keeping me young, right? Because every time I turn around, there's another headline, right? Hey, it's bullish, it's bearish. And we had that happen today, believe it or not. Oil prices, you know, were struggling to come back up. They looked like they were going to try to rally and be optimistic. And then they fell pretty sharply after a headline where a report came out that Vladimir Putin was going to make an offer to, you know, have an air truce in the Ukraine war. In other words, we'll keep the war going, but we're not going to use planes and drones. And, you know, the market wasn't sure how to take that. I you know, the war goes on, but we're not going to kill people with the missiles. Who knows? But I don't think anybody thought they were going to take that seriously, but the market reacted. But then later on, we got another headline from President Trump. The Trump administration, according to a report from the Financial Times, is saying that Friday is the deadline. And if they don't agree to a ceasefire by Friday, the Trump administration is going to hit Russia's shadow fleet of oil tankers with big sanctions. The people who move Russian oil will not want to do that because they could lose a lot of money. They could be hit with the inability to do business with other countries. And that could be a huge deal, and the market's trying to bounce back on that. But you better just wait. Watch your next Truth Social tweet, because it could all change after that.
And we will certainly be keeping an eye on that and what it means for us at the pump. That is Phil Flynn. Thanks so much, Phil, senior market analyst at Price Group and a Fox Business News contributor. A reminder that if you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and skip back to the time you'd like. There is a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.